Just testing to see if you remember this song. If you don't remember, take your pulse. You're dead. You've been dead for a while. That's the great Mongo Santa Maria, the great percussionist and conguero and composer, with his version, his very early version of Herbie Hancock's Watermelon Man. This he did in 1963 on vinyl. I like playing stuff from the 60s. Go back, revisit, you listen to all the various interpretations of music. And it is a wonderful thing when you happen upon a piece by Mongo Santa Maria with Watermelon Man. All right. This is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we try to catch up today on some things that had just zipped by us. They weren't particularly earth-shattering, but they were important. And we can catch up today. And for this week, we'll be taking a look at the impact of these developments on the world. And of course, you must know by now that Israel has a new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, and Benjamin Netanyahu is ousted. He's gone. Naftali, by the way, used to be Netanyahu's chief of staff. It is interesting how politics loves patterns. It doesn't easily break a pattern. So here we are. And so I thought I would ask a couple of questions around that, see what your thoughts are, because I find it very interesting. We can't seem to break free, completely free of an old pattern. Instead, we stay close to what we have known as if there's some safety in that, as if we dare not move away from those experiences, which uniformly have been pretty disappointing. But, you know, this is the way the world works. And we will see what comes of it. So I would ask you this first question and see what your thinking is. With the economy allegedly opening up again, I said allegedly opening up again, there allegedly are jobs aplenty, say labor market experts. So the question is, where are the people who should be applying and getting these jobs? Do you have any, have you met any of them? Do you have any idea where they are or where they might have gone? That's the question. The economy is opening up after a miserable year with the coronavirus, but not just the coronavirus. Other things came into play, compounding the misery. And so the experts are saying there are lots and lots of jobs available. I think that's a great thing. But I don't see lots and lots of people showing up for these jobs. So what is accounting for this gap? You have a lot of jobs available, and yet you're saying there is a labor shortage. People are not showing up for jobs. What is happening? Let's ask the experts at Lead Stories and try to find out what accounts for this anomaly. Lots of jobs, but people still are not working. And the jobs are not being taken. What do you think is going on here? Any ideas? 888-874-4888. Does it sound a little bit odd to you that with all these jobs, supposedly, according to the labor market experts, with all these new jobs available and being available after a particularly miserable year, that people just are not showing up for these jobs? What are we supposed to understand by that? What do you think is the significance of this? If they're right, I have no reason to doubt the experts. They say there are many, many jobs. And they also say people are not taking them. So what accounts for the mismatch? You have any gut reaction to that? Is it something we should worry about or think about? 888-874-4888. It seems to me that that is exactly the remedy. People would be running like crazy toward these jobs and getting them and getting on with their lives. But the experts, not people like me conjecturing about things, but the experts are saying there's so many jobs available, so many jobs going unclaimed, if you will. People are not showing up for them. What does this mean? What does it signify to you? 888-874-4888. I want to start off with an answer to that question. Is there something profound happening here in the United States that we all are missing? Is there a major clue right in our face and we can't see it? Is there an explanation for this crazy mismatch? Lots and lots of jobs, they say, are available and going unfilled because people are just not showing up for them. That doesn't sound even American. America is the land of hardworking people who want jobs. They love jobs. But why aren't they showing up? What do you think is going on? Should we be worried about that? Is this an indication of some major shift that has occurred and is occurring, and we are completely oblivious to it? Are the people voting with silence, but just not showing up for jobs that are readily available? Is the claim even correct? Is it an accurate claim? We don't know. I certainly have no role to play in the keeping of records. But when an expert or when experts say, this is the situation, we should trust that they know what they're talking about. And that's what they're saying. Lots of jobs, but the jobs are going unclaimed. What could possibly be the reason for that? 888-874-4888. Don't be shy. It's no right or wrong here. It's just, what's your best guess about what is going on here? How do we, at precisely the moment when everybody wants more money, everybody's trying to get a job, everybody wants out of the last year that they've lived, they want to turn things around, and jobs are available, and yet people are not claiming these jobs? I have no answer. I have no answer for that. But while you ponder that, let me move on to another issue that I want to talk to you about. And it concerns the tag team of Joe Biden and Ms. Harris, the vice president to Biden. I've been noticing the chemistry between them, and I'm getting troubling signals that there seems to have been, in recent times, very recent times, a kind of distance, a coldness between them. Am I misreading that? Am I inventing that? Is it a figment of my imagination? And it's also between their advisors, people who are working with Biden closely, seem to be a bit offhanded in their relation to the staff of Ms. Harris, Kamala Harris. I picked that up. Did you pick that up? Is something happening there? Or am I making way too much of this whole thing? I don't understand it, but this is politics. And in politics, things happen right before your eyes. And sometimes you miss it completely. And then time passes, and all of a sudden, there's a big story. This one resigns, that one quits. There's a big fight. And we don't know how we didn't spot it before, but it's unfolding. I think I'm seeing some hard edges, especially since the most recent developments of the so-called border visit. I sense a tension between Joe Biden and Kamala Harris. Do you? Or am I making that up as well? I don't know. I opened the program by remarking that Israel now has a new prime minister, Naftali Bennett, and Netanyahu has been put out to pasture. He's done. He has had his 12 years of power, and it was decided by the people that they need a change, so he's gone. But is he? And then you look at the parallels and you see something very fascinating. Netanyahu's path is repeating the path of guess who? Donald Trump. Donald Trump came out of nowhere. He bulldozed his way. He won election and stayed there for quite a while, proving his staying power. And with that, he took the Republican Party. It became his possession. And he became a larger-than-life figure. It was not just that he was president of the United States, but he was the king of the world. And I was wondering, since Trump and Netanyahu seemed to be so close together, both on a personal level and with regard to their individual trajectories following similar paths, I couldn't help but think that Netanyahu, who was the ninth prime minister of Israel from 1996 to 1999, and then again served from 2009 until his ouster this week, I wouldn't be surprised if there is some kind of a way that both these men would be getting together to launch something completely new in politics. It's a scary thought, but you never know. It's the same thing that Netanyahu had argued that brought him to power. He said that the party was weak. He became a hawk. He was all about military expansion and military might. And it really grew the party, and it grew his popularity and his authority. Same thing with Trump. Trump came to power, and he seemed to endorse and, in fact, extol the virtues of an extremely conservative point of view. Military might, expansionism beyond our borders, and, of course, personal ownership of the Republican Party. He created many candidates who went on to be successful in their election. And people interpreted that as Trump having staying power politically, and they were likely to line up behind him. But now both Trump and Netanyahu are gone. They're not in office anymore, let's put it that way. But that does not mean it is an end of their political career. I see a meeting of the minds again. They will come to terms about some way in which they can work together to capitalize on the strides they have made individually and together, and fashion something new in politics. I don't know what it is. I don't know that I would care for it, but I see that as a clear possibility that they will draw closer to each other and work together to form a new kind of politics. I don't know if you share that view or not. And in forming this new kind of politics, they would create a new axis of power in both the East and the West, therefore transcending everything pretty much that we know or accept as politics for the moment. Do you see that? I see that. All right, I haven't any calls just yet. What is going on? Oh, I'm sorry. My bad. Benji from New York, you're on the air.
Yeah. How are you, Teresa? This is Benji. Hello. How are you?
Okay, thank you. How are you?
I better stay in one place. Do you hear me okay?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, okay. You mentioned a lot of points, but I think your first point, that's what I wanted to respond to. You asked why does it seem, if there's a surplus of jobs, why isn't it being filled? And I think the simple answer is that people are making money, people are getting checks with unemployment close to $1,100 per week. They never made that money when they work. There's no incentive. I believe that's the reason. You'll see coming September when the enhancements of unemployment end, or maybe all unemployment gets shut down, you'll see people returning to their jobs.
So you think the lack of incentive because the pay is
it
they can live on what they can now.
Yeah, if I could say myself that when I was pushed out of teaching in 2010, and it wasn't easy for me to collect unemployment, but if you remember, that was a real economic downturn, you know, in Obama's years, and he was very generous and he fought hard for unemployment to stimulate the economy. I got unemployment for 2 years. So I have to be honest, yeah.
You know, you may have a pretty good point there, but we'll see. Yeah. We'll see. Thank you for calling in and getting us started today.
Yeah.
Ed from Queens, what is your comment today?
Hey, how you doing, Eutrice?
Okay.
Good to hear. I wanted to comment on the Israeli situation with the new prime minister. I got to disagree with you. I don't think Trump is going to play any part in this. The thing that disturbs me is that this Bennett, he's an ultra-nationalist. He's an Orthodox Jew. He makes Netanyahu look like Gandhi. He was part of the Mossad. He was head of the Palestinian. He was the head of the Palestinian Security. The head of the Israeli Palestinian Security Force that oversees the West Bank, and he's worse. So Palestine is an open air prison, and this government is throwing full support behind this man. But this man is worse than Netanyahu. Netanyahu, to me, is akin to the Nazis as far as how they're treating the Palestinians. So I don't know how this is going to shake out. But I don't think Trump plays a part in this. I think that if Bennett can hold together this loose consolidation that he has in the Knesset, and the only way they're going to do that is to once again play the Palestinian people as underdogs and use them as use them as the uniting force until they eventually push the people into the ocean.
But this do you see a complete abandonment? I mean, so much time went into building a relationship of sorts, if you want to call it that, with the United States. And Netanyahu devoted so much of his time and effort and energy and our money to that effort, and it worked. I don't see him just walking away from that and abandoning that.
Well, Netanyahu's going to play his card. He's been prime minister for over 12 years. He's rode through several scandals. He's ridden through several questionable acts. He's got a long history of corruption, and he's rolled through it. So he's always going to play a part in it. He tried scorched earth policy in his quote unquote concession speech after the Bennett was declared the new prime minister. But as I said, this Bennett's position is on shaky ground. There's a loose consolidation of ultra right wing and Zionist council members on the Knesset that are trying to hold this thing together. And Bibi's going to be in the works. He's like the godfather. He's going to be in the works.
Do you think he is confident enough to walk away from what it is he has invested in the last 12 years in building a political machine, a political structure, and now would just walk away and start something new, or just walk away and disappear?
Well, he's not going to walk away. He's not going to disappear. This is not over. He is still going to be a key player in Israeli politics. If not, he might even have the potential to reassert himself as prime minister. Because they've had Bibi on the ropes several times. Like I said, he's got a history of corruption in Israeli government. And he's manipulative. He's a Zionist. He's controlled by the Zionist organizations. And he's got America's back. You understand what I'm saying? President Biden said it, I think, a few years ago, that if Israel wasn't there, America would have to invent an Israel. Israel was an invention to control the Middle, to control, which is actually North Africa, because the Middle East, middle of what? It's North Africa. Africa is attached to the Middle East. So I don't know where we get this term Middle East. It's north of Africa. And the biblical right of a people to take the land of another people is preposterous. And the whole premise of Israel is preposterous. And America backs it because...
But things are happening at a fortuitous moment. We have Donald Trump. He's out. Mm-hmm. But not really. He's already, in the short time that he has immersed himself into the politics of the nation and into the Republican Party, he has done a masterful job of controlling things and setting up new paradigms. And we don't know what the ultimate goal is, but we do know, and we can say safely, that he has another plan. We don't know exactly what it is. But I was thinking, with Netanyahu out, Trump out, they may just come together and form the basis for a new kind of international approach to politics. You think that's far-fetched?
I don't think so. I mean, I could see... First of all, I don't believe Benjamin Netanyahu is actually out. I think he's playing the sidelines because he's done this before. His prime minister office has been compromised before. He's still under political investigation. He's been under political investigation for the past 8 years, and he's ridden out scandal after scandal. Israel and Trump, I mean, you know, personally, I think Trump is a little outside of a moron who got lucky. And I don't think he's going to be that much of a threat. And I don't think that someone, this is my personal observation, I don't think that someone in Netanyahu's position or with Netanyahu's diabolical intellect would waste his time with Trump. BB's got his hand in a lot of things. How long this has gone on in the Middle East for decades and decades to control that region, a lot of the Western powers have a lot invested in there, and he plays a part in that. And he's always going to keep his hand in that. I think Trump is a wild card, but I don't think he has the intellectual capability to compete on that level of an international scale.
Make some excellent points, that's for sure. But just to say, I say, don't close your eyes just yet. There may be a surprise or two coming down the pike. Thanks so much for your comments today. They were quite appropriate. Thank you. Gwen from New York, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. What are your thoughts today?
Hi, I just wanted to comment on Benji's share about the unemployment, just for some clarification. I keep having this discussion with people and the incredible amounts of money that they think people are making on unemployment. So let's put this in perspective. The amount you can make on unemployment, just regular unemployment, is only $405 a month in the state of New York. The majority of people that work in New York, many of them call them freelancers. And freelancers are not allowed to work any more than, say, 27, maybe 35 hours a week. And the reason why is companies don't want to pay insurance. Now, I worked really hard, you know, and I got laid off March 23rd, and my unemployment came out to $295. Then they took taxes out. Now, we are getting a supplement right now, which is $300, but after they take the taxes out, it comes out to maybe $250. So a realistic person who's on unemployment right now is making a little over $500. That's what they're getting. So I think that we need to stop blaming people that work for a living. We did not put ourselves out of a job, one. Two, employers have been getting away with murder for years, because I remember when in the 1980s, I was working at Saks Fifth Avenue. They pink slipped all of the people at the counter. Then they brought us back in and they called us independent contractors. However, the rules were exactly the same. You could not deviate from their schedule, which means that you're not really an independent contractor because you are not making up your own schedule. And the whole reason why this was done was to get rid of all of the insurance that companies were having to pay. And also, they didn't have to pay unemployment. Now, the freelancers did fight this with Estee Lauder, and they did win the case. And now if you lay off a freelancer, you do have to give them unemployment. But I think that Benji needs to look at the bigger picture, and many people, especially employers, need to look at the bigger picture. If you want to know where your money's going, Gary Knoll had a fantastic show on some of the incredible waste that this country has. I say that this country has enough money to give back decent reparations, a good chunk of money to Black families that have suffered for 400 years. And I also say that we have enough money to give people a better unemployment rate than what we're getting right now. This is terrible. How on earth can you possibly live in the state of New York if you are only getting $405 a week? And as far as the supplemental income that goes with that, that's going to be gone in 3 months. So yeah, there's going to be a lot of people that are going back to work, possibly. But I think that the victim, we should stop blaming the victim and understand the enormous amount of money that we give away to billionaires every year, every second of the day, because we don't require them to pay taxes. If you're Jeff Bezos, if you're Mayor Bloomberg, you don't have to actually pay taxes. You pay a little tiny bit in taxes, but next to what your wealth is about. So we, the middle class, doesn't exist anymore. We are now the working poor, but we are still paying all the taxes. Believe me, when it was time to pay my taxes this year, the IRS had showed no mercy on me, okay? So even though I just barely squeaked through, believe me, the check was ready and they had to get it out on that day to make sure people like Westinghouse and Jeff Bezos and Mayor Bloomberg would not be uncomfortable. So let's stop blaming us. We did not do this to ourselves, and unemployment should definitely be higher than $405 a month or a week. It should be $700 a week. That is what's right, and that is what's true. You can only be on unemployment for 6 months out of the year, and that means through an entire year, you don't have to do it consecutively. You can take unemployment and get some work the next week, just not take your unemployment for that week. Your claim actually lasts a year, but your unemployment benefits only are 6 months altogether. The other thing I wanted to say about Netanyahu and Donald Trump, I completely and certainly agree with you. Of course, he will try to reinvent himself through Donald Trump. You'd be a fool not to think so. Donald Trump gave him more than anybody else gave him. And there is a lot of people that are behind Trump. And there are a lot of people that like Netanyahu's warlike ways. So we'd be foolish to think that they wouldn't try to start something. But I don't know how successful they'll be because they are censored from most of the media. They are censored from Facebook and Twitter. I can't stand either one of them. And I ask myself, you know, I am comfortable with not hearing them on these public forums. But, you know, someday it's going to be me or my – well, it's always been me. I've always been censored on regular radio. But, you know, I don't really like the idea of censorship for anybody. I think it's a really bad practice because even though it might be for a benevolent cause right now, somewhere down the line, it's going to be somebody that you like Bernie Sanders, who got shut out. So they're my thoughts on the discussion today.
So thank you. Let me ask you then, what credence do you put in the so-called experts saying there are lots and lots and lots of jobs available, but people are not showing up and taking them?
Well, I just don't think that's true. For example, I work in the cosmetic industry. It takes thousands of people to run that boat, okay? Really good people, really hardworking women. But right now, when you go in, you can't touch anyone's face. So I'm a makeup artist, and you come to see me. Do you know how that cuts sales in half right there? If you can't get the product on somebody's face, they can't really see it, and they will not spend like they would have in the past. So it's a big problem for us. It's also a problem that me standing so close to you, I'm standing in front of you, we're sharing like really close spaces, I'm touching your eyes, which means I'm getting your DNA on me. So there's a lot of reasons why they're keeping it down to a bare bones. I don't think we're having problems in cosmetics. I don't think they're going to hire too many people. And I wouldn't push that aside because cosmetics is the bottom line for almost every retailer in the United States, or it has been for the last 100 years. You always see cosmetics on the first floor. Why? Because we make more money than anybody else in the store. So it's always been that way. It's changed over the last, I'd say, 5 years with the internet and people buying. But I think that this crap you hear on TV is usually right-wingers. I want to tell you, I just had this discussion with my plumber last week. The guy who comes to my house to do bug spraying. I don't have bugs, but anyway, you know, he comes through the building. And he was really slamming, you know, people not showing up to work. And, you know, he kept saying that people are making more money staying home than they did when they went to work. But, you know, I explained to them that this is, first of all, it's temporary. And secondly, you know, I don't think there's that many people. I don't think there's that many opportunities out there that people are not going back. I will say this, though. If you're a waiter or waitress and you're making $2 an hour and then you're making tips, it's pretty hard to get up to, I'd say, $25 an hour in the way the businesses are right now. Restaurants are still not to full capacity, at least not in the city of New York. Often you go outside at night and you'll see them at half. So you're not going to make those tips that you were making before. And since you have to pay rent in the city, you have to think of where's the best check going to come from? But I still want people to be realistic. People are not making thousands of dollars on unemployment a week. That's just not true. And if you're really pissed off about something like that, stop going after your fellow worker, your fellow middle-class person. Get on the right side. Fight the person who's actually hurting you. The people who are actually hurting you are many right-wingers and even Democrats that are allowing companies to not pay their fair share. And by not paying their fair share, you and I have to carry the burden for everybody, and it's just not fair. So it's a much bigger picture than, oh, those employees won't go back to work. As a matter of fact, it's a bunch of crap, just like the welfare argument is. People need to know something. All social services, all of them, take up only 7% of your paycheck taxes when you get taxed. If you're paying 32% in taxes, only 7% is going to welfare, Medicare, or Medicaid, all that stuff, okay? The rest of it is all going to the military and industrial complex. So if you want to get mad at somebody, get mad at the right people. Hold them accountable. But, you know, people get mad at what they can see. So if I can see that you're off for the day and, like, I think you should be at work, then I'm going to say, geez, that woman's making more money staying home collecting unemployment. Or if I can see that you have food stamps at the counter when you check out, well, you know, that woman's capable of coming in shopping. How come she doesn't have a job? How come we're not paying her? How come we're not making her have workfare? You know, these are all ridiculous things that you really shouldn't even pay attention to because they take so little money to fund. The big ticket items are your military-industrial complex, your wars, giving tax breaks to Westinghouse and Donald Trump and Bloomberg and Jeff Bezos, all these creeps that have some kind of money disorder. They need a 12 steps for their money disorder because they're destroying the planet. This is who we need to take. This is who we need to take to task.
A money disorder. Okay.
That's right. 12 steps. You know what? Let me just tell you something. No matter how much money you stuff in the hole in their soul, no matter how much you stuff in there, that hole is still going to be there. I am sorry, Mr. Bloomberg. You're always going to be 5'1". Mr. Bezos, you're never going to be a handsome guy. You're going to be a little guy your whole life, no matter how much money you stuff in there to make up for those differences. So you need to get some mental health care because you're tearing this planet apart because you have no balance in your life. You have no spirituality in your life.
Wow.
12 steps to rich, okay?
You told me today, that's for sure. You told us all today.
Maybe one of those guys is listening.
So how do you really feel? That's hard to tell.
Pissed off.
You know, I'm chuckling, but it's very serious what you say. And it is hard to argue with, that's for sure. And I want to thank you for your clarity and the way you make your arguments. See, I could follow your reasoning, and it makes sense to me. But when we see these things popping up on the news and so forth, and people are accepting the crazy premises for what is happening as if it's logical to understand, as if it is, in fact, inevitable that we will come to this point, and we just have to grit our teeth and deal with the consequences of our own inaction. But you put it in great perspective today. Thanks a lot, Gwen, for calling in and contributing.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Ali from New York, you're on the air at 888-874-4888. What are you talking about today?
Well, I actually called for the unemployment insurance, but I do wanted to say this about Netanyahu and Trump. I wish that they conspired together, but each one in the jail system, you know, calling each other on the phone and in jail, both of them. That
they
would be the wonderful thing
all
that could happen.
Behind bars.
That's right. That's
okay.
Right. Even if they communicate through the phone or through Twitter or whatever, but in jail, both of them, because both of them belong in jail, and we know it. So that's what I have to say about both of them. Yeah, but going into that conversation about what people are getting for unemployment, you see, since Occupy, I always have called a group of people the good soldiers. The soldiers that they get the information and they wanted to fight the other group, but they're not part of the 1%. And who are those people? Those people are the little people, like you and I, who they have a job and they eat the lie that they have been spreading out there, because the system spreads the lie, and people that in the middle class, they hear this information. And they're good soldier because they will be fighting those people that they think that they're getting rich with an unemployment check. The fact of the matter is that I don't think anyone actually mentioned this. A lot of people that get an unemployment are single moms that they used to have jobs. And here in New York City, I have a cousin that she volunteers in a food pantry. And one thing that she was telling me last week was that she sees a lot of moms with kids going to this food pantry. So these are the moms that they had stayed at home with that paycheck to take care of their kids. And some of these people, they also are afraid to send their kids to school because they are afraid of COVID. So this is one group that people should think of, that they're getting rich, but they go to the pantry to also get food to accommodate themselves and have something extra during the month. So every time that I hear, and this is something that is being talked here in New York City about these people that they don't want to go to work. Who are where are the jobs in this city? You know where the jobs are? In the retail store. And how much money are those people making? You know how difficult it is for some of these people that a lot of these retail stores, and the reason that I know this is because I have gone to two stores that I have talked to people, especially salespeople. You know, most of the time, they don't get fixed hours. You are like in a standby basics. You know when you are a single mom that you have to work different hours? And you don't make enough money to support your family? So where are the jobs? Where are these jobs that these people are talking about? How much do they pay that people, they could go back to work and also be able to have their kids to be taken care of by somebody at home? There is no such jobs for people in this city, people on the lower middle class. So, yeah, but they're talking about, and these are the good soldiers. Those are the soldiers that when we used to march in Wall Street, they were the biggest defenders of the 1% of Wall Street. I had these black men that I used to work with in a brokerage house. that I met him. He says he's a manager in one of the banks. And I saw him, and he told me, but how about me? And I just looked at him. I said, you don't even count. You're black? I actually told him, and you are a small person, but you are one of those big defenders of Wall Street. And those are the people that we're having problem with, defending people with this little money, paycheck, that they are getting rich according to these soldiers. So that's what I have to say. We have to think about that. Thank you.
Now, what do you see happening in the long in the longer term?
In the longer term?
Yeah, go ahead. How will it end?
It's not going to end well. I'm going to tell you why. Because it's the same thing I'm talking about, these little people, they are the big defender and they are the big soldiers. As longer the system, the government telling all those people that these people, they're getting rich, they're going to close their unemployment and they're going to give you less time to collect and less money to push people to go back to work. Listen, the school system going to be open in this city in September. It's going to be reopened. It's not because the COVID hasn't gone away. It will be go away. No, it's because they want people to go back to work. That is, it's a fact. I don't think it's going to end well. And besides, when people lose their apartment, and you know that that is coming, I wanted to know what the city is going to do. Because if we have people, unhoused people now, you're going to see all these unhoused people with kids on the street. So what I don't know, because a lot of people, when they talk about UBI, when they talk about UBI, they want people to work for that check. And that is not UBI. It's not an income. That income should just be given. Listen, the social services here, they're not helping people. I mean, the Clinton administration put through this system where they only allow people to be in the system for 5 years. Yeah, there were a lot of people getting money and all that on the side that they could have, other people could have used it. But how about, like Gwen said, all these big companies, look at Bloomberg, not paying one penny on taxes. So these are the kind of people that we should be looking at. I had a conversation with two of my family members. I said, you only see these small people getting this paycheck. But how about these people that don't pay taxes? Bezos, Bloomberg, all these people. So, no, it's not going to end well. They're going to cut down the payment, and they're going to cut down also how many months you could get this little check. I could guarantee you that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Ali. I'm kind of spellbound just listening. People have a very clear understanding of what is going on. And the government still insists that they don't know anything. So they can try a little this over here and try something over there, because the people don't know anything. They can't tell what the plans are. But as we listen today, people have a very clear idea of what has been happening and what is likely to continue happening. And it means that we as a society, we have to get clear ourselves about where do we situate ourselves in this fight? What is our role? How do we position ourselves to help those people who already are targeted to be the victims of some nefarious plan? There are people who already know what they're going to do, how they're going to profit, how things are going to work for them in their behalf. But most people it's, you know, a kind of day-to-day thing, because that's just how life works. They don't have the luxury of taking time off to sit and think. They literally have to respond to life at the pace that life is responding to them. And so we have this catch-up, the role of catch-up. As soon as you think you've caught up, something new is already in the works. And you never can get ahead of it. But that, too, is part of what we have to consider as a society. Are we daring really bad things to happen? Are we encouraging that these terrible things that will happen as a result of these plans that are concocted without people knowing, that it will produce such a fallout? It would be so desperate. People's lives will become so desperate that they wouldn't care anymore. They wouldn't care. So I think we have gotten quite a response today, and it's uniform. People do not believe the propaganda that, all right, we've been doing our best, and frankly, even though things are not at their most ideal, you're doing okay. You've been doing all right. But it can't continue forever. You will have to come in to the rest of society and participate. You have to find a job, and the cycle begins all over again. Out of your meager check, you will have to support the apparatus of government. You'll have to pay taxes. Other people don't have to worry about that. And the names were called, Bezos and others. Many, too many to mention. They know, people know this now. And that's one of the frustrations of the government, that despite their best efforts, people are putting two and two together and they're coming up with four. They understand what is happening. Now comes the next step, and we don't know what it would look like. We know only that it would be very, very tense. And that is, how do people defend their interests, secure their rights, and protect their families? That is going to be a top priority. And hopefully it wouldn't reach to that stage where we see open calamity that can't easily be reversed. It is time for people to get ahead of this. And by people, I mean the people who are elected, the people who make decisions for the society, the people who position themselves as powerful people in our society. It's time for them to understand there has to be an honest appraisal and an honest effort to do better and to solve this problem, to come to grips with the myriad problems that people are living with every single day. I want to thank you so much for your comments today and your analysis. Right on point. Everybody's on point. I don't know why I had this nagging thought in my head that maybe we, you know, we could reveal something new. There's nothing new to reveal. You knew it. You knew it, and you were right on point. So thank you for your honest appraisal and for sharing your life and your experience the way you typically do. We'll talk again tomorrow and see what else we can uncover. And we'll do that tomorrow. Thanks so much for today. Bye-bye.